Yeah, cool. You know, talking about someone who still has issues about shopping online, we're going to be chatting a little bit about that. Maybe you will comfort me and you will lead me into the light of finally shopping online. But let's talk about the most common scams in South Africa. When we talk about cyber crimes or internet crimes, what are some of the most common scams in South Africa?
Okay, well, there are quite a few, okay? But let's focus on the most common one for now. And that's in the banking sector. And we call it the card not present fraud, CNP fraud. That is the most common. And that's basically a card not present transaction is usually carried out on an online store or via a telephone purchase. So criminals can memorize or write down the card number, the expiry date, and the three digits on the back of the bank card. And then they use that method to purchase online or via telephone because the merchant is unable to verify the person on the other side. Okay? So that is the most common one at the moment.
And talking about that, though, can we not make it more difficult for them to get the information? I mean, if a criminal only needs to look at your card and memorize their info and then they're good to go, should we not be looking at ways where we could hide that information even more? Or are there ways that people are working on to make things difficult for criminals?
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is that the people have to be careful, you know, when they go out with their cards, you know, standing at the ATM, make sure that no one is lurking, you know, like over your shoulder, you know, keep your card safe in your wallet, make sure when you put down your wallet, you know, that people don't see it and can get access to it. So you have to keep it safe at all times.
Now, say I'm already a victim. I've just checked on my phone and it's just confirmed that I've bought a car and I have no memory of me calling anyone to buy a car, but my credit card details have been used. What do I do if I think I've been scammed?
Well, as soon as you've been scammed or defrauded, okay, the chances of recovering your money can be slim, okay? The scammers are professional, you know, they use a fake identity, they use unregistered cell numbers, they create fake proof of payments and fake company letterheads, you know. So we've also seen the scammers make fake websites to use to make it look legit, you know, to make it as if they are a real company, you know. But keep as much information about the transaction, and if it's bank-related, block your card immediately and inform the bank's fraud department, okay? Inform the police, provide them with as much information as possible, and also hire a PI just to assist you with the initial phase, you know, and how to build this case, and to give something solid through to SAPS so that they can follow up on the investigation.
Now, as much as you've given us a glimpse into what criminals are looking for, by the way, to scam us as unsuspecting consumers, how much info do they really need to be able to steal from you? I mean, because from that first answer you gave us, it's sort of, to me, they just need to see your card. Is it as simple as that, or there's much more that they need?
Look, it's very simple. Look, they memorize things, you know, they write things down, they memorize. But what we have found today is, you know, they just need your cell number. You know, we have seen extortion fraud, for example, where the criminal, they only need your cell number. You know, they look you up on Facebook. They find more info about you. You know, then they start to contact you via SMS or WhatsApp, demanding money from you. Okay, if you don't, and when you deny the request, you know, they become more aggressive. You know, we have seen extreme where the criminal threatens to contact you, to contact your friends via Facebook, to contact your family members, they even contact your place of work. Once you pay them, you know, they usually request the money via e-wallet, you know, because they use an unregistered number, which is not RICAD. So you make the payment to the e-wallet, it's untraceable, you know, and also, you know, the criminals, they steal genuine bank cards together with the correct PIN number. Like, let's say, for example, you are a victim of a robbery. You know, the person, they hold you up, they take your bank card, they demand your PIN number, they even walk with you to the ATM, you know. They do the purchases online until your account is either empty or the card is stopped. So from your cell number to your bank card, you know, within a few seconds, they can basically take over your whole identity.
This is really some scary stuff. 41 minutes past four. Good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. If you have just joined us, believe me, you are not lost at all. You're in the right place. This is The Weekend Early Breakfast with me, uAbongile Nzelenzele. And we're talking about internet crimes. And we're talking to Jaco van Schalkwyk, who is a private investigator, where we're dealing with a recent spike in online crime in which people's personal information has been leaked. I mean, you talk, for example, about Facebook. He's discussing with us common fraud practices in South Africa. What to do if you think your personal information has been used unlawfully, and how to safeguard yourself against the scams. Have you been a victim of an online crime or such crimes that we're talking about? Would love to hear about you. What did you do? How did you how do you continue now to protect yourself from such crimes? 021-446-0567. Jaco, I mean, bringing it back to you from your side. Man, I really thought they would need much more information than that. I must be honest, Jaco. And when buying online, what are some of the things that you need to do to ensure that you're safe? You've said you need to hide your card from people from looking, but you are already online now. What are some of the things you should be looking for to buy safely online?
Well, first of all, you know, you have to use familiar websites, okay? And only buy from trusted e-commerce stores, okay? So look for the green lock. You know, the URL with the site will start with the HTTPS, for example, instead of the HTTP. And also regularly check your statement, especially when you actually, because when you buy online, usually your card details are stored on the e-commerce platform, okay? So regularly check your statements. If you do see something wrong, pick up the phone and address the matter as soon as possible, okay? Protect your phone and PC with internet security software, okay? You need to protect against malware. With regular updates to your antivirus program, use strong banking and online passwords for your account, and use trusted apps provided directly by the retailers. So those are the few things to look at.
Mm. And talking about that, I mean, you talk about regular websites. Is there a page maybe that you know of as a private investigator where one could, I don't know, go to and see who the regulars are? I mean, if you talk of someone like me, I don't do online shopping, so I wouldn't know where to start, who the regulars are. Is there a site we can go to? It's just one of those things where, as an individual, I'd have to find out on my own.
What I would think about is get recommendations on some e-commerce stores, okay? Maybe just Google and read up on some reviews about the stores that are safe to purchase from. So there's definitely a guideline, you know, on the internet that will explain what are the safer sites to go to. But we all know which, sites like Takealot, for example, you know, it's a safe site, you know? So stick with the retailers that are trusted and most heard of. Like, you won't shop from a guy, my online store, for example, with no history, with no testimonials. You know, now you are adding your details onto the site. You've got no idea who they are, and you could be jeopardizing yourself by giving out your information onto a platform which is not trusted.
And to you listening at home, once again, 021-446-0567. That's the number that you can dial. Have you ever been a victim of an online crime? Have you ever been defrauded online? If so, what did you do? And what are some of the remedies that you put in place now to ensure that you do not get into the same situation again? Would love to hear from you. If you cannot call in now, use the WhatsApp line on 072-567-1567 or send us an SMS to 31567. Jaco, let's say I've been robbed and I've lodged a case and people are investigating. How long can I expect a case of fraud to take for it to be settled? And if it is settled, should I even look forward to getting my money back?
Well, the chances of getting your money back is very slim, okay? Forces, they use the money immediately, they buy luxurious goods, you know, they spend it immediately, and they won't be able to pay you back. What we have found, you know, it depends on the type of fraud that took place, and are we dealing with a syndicate, or are we dealing with a person that tried his luck? So giving you a time frame on how long it could take, you know, it's anything from 2 months, 6 months, and even years, you know. So you can't really put a time on it. It's all about the type of scam that took place and what information is available that we can work with to give through to SAPS and the fraud departments. But yes, it is a hassle. It is a long process and a difficult process to tackle.
I must say, when you say they simply buy luxury items, I thought to myself, why can't they buy themselves healthcare? I mean, you can...
No. That's boring.
And talking to that, I mean, we talk about SAPS. What are some of the punishments that are out there? Is it jail time? Is it a slap on the wrist? As we know, it happens a lot in South Africa.
Well, let's look at fraud in excess of 500,000. Okay, the mandatory sentence, you know, it's ought to be 15 years, you know. But our courts have often deviated from this minimum sentence by imposing a lesser sentence, or even you pay an admission of guilt. So you pay an admission of guilt, you get a criminal record, and you just move on with your life, you know, and you become better with your fraud. So it just depends, you know. In what amount, in the excess. But if it's more than 500,000, you can definitely be for certain of jail time.
And talking about cases, you've been on the block for quite a number of years, Jaco. You are a private investigator. You know what to look for. You understand the game. I don't know, maybe a bit of a personal question, though. What is the worst case of fraud that you've had in your experience? So there's two ways to this question. In general, you know, what if we talk about a worst case of fraud, what is that? And in your personal experience, I'm sure you've had one of those cases. What would that be?
Okay, well, there's quite a few. There's always a few. But let's look at banking fraud. It's definitely the most, you know, it's the worst crime, you know, where people, you know, they make fake bank cards, copies of your bank cards, things like that. So banking fraud is definitely, you know, one of the worst. In the private sector, we have seen extortion where people, you know, where a guy maybe contacts someone for some service and, you know, they obtain a fake proof of payment, for example. You know, the customer leases a stock of 100,000 rand to this criminal by means of a fake proof of payment. That we see a lot, especially in the private sector and where businesses are involved. Then there's another one where, for example, the romance fraud scam, where people go online on a dating website, for example, they meet someone nice they chat with, and now this person they are making as if they are someone that's got a fake identity. You get into a relationship with this person, and now they start to ask you for money. You now start to pay this person. And down the line, you've just noticed, but actually this person is a fake. You know, it's just a fraud, defrauding you out of your money. And once you stop payment, you know, they become more aggressive. And that is where the problem is. Once you've paid, even if it's a 500 or 1,000, once you've made that first payment, they become more aggressive. They want more. They start to extort you. They make contact with friends and family. They say things like they will post stuff on the internet about you or about your family. So what we've seen, banking fraud definitely the most, and then in the private sector where we come in as private investigators, extortion, the fake proof of payment, the fake identities, and the romance scam.
Now, I do want to continue this discussion because more especially I want to find out how capable is our police force in policing this crime. But an SMS has come in now saying that, hi there, I was scammed when I bought tickets for a concert. Ask Jaco if he's ever heard of an online ticket selling company called Viagogo. That's from SNN. Thank you so much for that SMS. Talking about ticket scandals, I'm sure there's quite a lot of that, but have you ever heard of the company Viagogo?
I've never heard of a company like that, but I do know that ticket fraud is on the rise. You know, we've seen it with the soccer events where people, they sell you fake tickets. The tickets look exactly the same, but it's a fake ticket. So yes, that happens. And you pay them $1,000 for a front seat ticket or a VIP ticket just to come there to find out, sorry, you've been scammed.
Talking about that, though, I mean, you always find the individuals next to the stadium. I don't know if this is part of your expertise, but seeing as we're talking about tickets, you'll find that there are some people that will buy the tickets earlier on and sell them at a higher price. Is that allowed in South Africa?
I'm not sure if it's allowed.
Okay.
Once you purchase a ticket, the ticket is yours, and yes, you can resell it. But what is the problem is, you know, fake tickets. That's the biggest problem. Mm. You know, selling the fake ticket, and you will find that more to be fake than the real one.
Have your say. 8 minutes left of this interview with Yako, who is a private investigator, talking to us about online crimes and giving you the pearls of wisdom, things to look out for and what you need to understand when it comes to protecting yourself when it comes to online crimes. Yako, I love our police officers. I think they're a dedicated bunch of men and women that go out every morning. Well, most of them, that is. They do what needs to be done, and I respect them for that. But is our police force able to deal with these kind of crimes? I mean, sometimes it's not about you as an individual. It's what you've been taught.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, look, well, white-collar crime, for example, and financial crimes are taken seriously by the hawks and the saps, okay? But it's not always possible for the person to prove intent, okay? And this is the case. Your case is not always accepted and usually referred to the small claims court or the civil court, because once you've been defrauded or scammed, okay, and you can't prove the intent, that's the problem. So it's always, you know, when you have been a victim of fraud, depending on the way you've been fraud, is taking that initial information and making sure that when you go and open your case, that you can actually prove that fraud has taken place. And you have to give the info. There must be compelling info for the police to follow up on and to trace this person down. But like we know, these fraudsters, they use a fake identity. They use cell numbers, which is prepaid numbers, untraceable numbers, not recut. So once they've taken the money, you pay them via e-wallet, it's untraceable. The money was received via the phone number. Once you've traced the phone number, it's off, it's disconnected, it's not recut. So it makes it difficult for the police to actually do a good job. But in situations where it's a syndicate, you know, there is definitely progress being made. It may be slower than usual, but progress is being made. And it's just about having the right training, you know, and assistance.
And, I mean, as we talk about that, you mentioned intent. Maybe elaborate a little bit more for us. What does that mean? So if you are a police officer, you're trying to prove that this individual is guilty, but you're saying it's very hard to prove intent. What is that?
So let's look at so when we talk about intent, so fraud, first of all, is the wrongful or the criminal deception intended to result in a financial or personal gain. So it's considered to involve the misrepresentation with intent to deceive, okay? So let's say, for example, if a company or a person makes a specific promise about a product to sell that product, they may be guilty of fraud if they are aware that the product does not work as advertised, okay? So in the fraud investigation, we try to determine whether fraud has taken place, and we try to detect the evidence if fraud has occurred. Okay, so that is the thing. So you have to prove the intent.
Yeah. All right, now I'm still with you. Now, with the many Cape Townians or Cape Talk listeners that are listening to us today, Yako, what would be your advice maybe to them as we part ways in terms of keeping themselves safe and how to just be vigilant?
Just be vigilant. Don't give out your personal information to anyone, okay? Make sure that you collect your post as soon as possible, because we do know that banks and things, they still send you your statements via the post. So talk to your bank to get it on email rather, okay? And if you are using your PC, safeguard your computer, okay? Get some internet security software, malware, because you can also be scammed via an email or via a website. And then, don't lend your card to anyone else. And then when you are using your card, especially at restaurants, you do your own transaction. You take the card machine from the guy, and you swipe your transaction yourself, because they familiarize themselves. They actually memorize your card number and things like that. So it's just to be safe. When you're dealing with transactions, just be safe. Look around your shoulder. Don't accept help from someone else. And, you must just be safe. That's the best I can explain it. And if you lose your card or things like that, just block it immediately. If you see if you see something wrong on your statement, contact your bank immediately. So it's just to be vigilant.
Hmm. Yago, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning, and thank you so much for the tons and loads of advice that you've just given us this morning.
Thanks, you're more than welcome.
Thank you so much. Jaco van Schalkwyk, a private investigator. And I mean, we are in the times where we're dealing with a spike in online crime, in which people's personal information is leaked and people are taking your information and, yeah, defrauding you of your contents. And we'd love to find out from you if you've been scammed. And thank you so much for the SMS coming in from one of our listeners talking about being scammed on tickets. Have you had a similar experience? Would love to find out from you. 021 446 0567. Good morning.